missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about the vocation of motherhood. To be a follower of Christ is to express Him through the medium of your own life. And if your life is that of a mother, be very grateful for that gift, for that privilege, for that solemn responsibility, and ask the Lord to help you to express Him through the medium of your life as a woman, feminine, motherly, submissive, first of all, to God, and willing to take the subordinate place to your husband, if God has given you a husband. We are meant to transpose Christ into the stuff, the material of our daily existence. In other words, someone watching our lives should have a revelation of what Jesus Christ is like. Well, now that's an extremely high calling and standard for us, isn't it? And who of us could ever claim to have reached that plateau or that pinnacle? And yet, that's what we aim for, isn't it? May Christ be seen in me, the image of Christ be formed in me. And that's not going to happen without giving up our right to ourselves and taking up the cross and following Him. And I love the statement that one theologian made. The taking up of the cross is the continual daily practice of small duties which are distasteful to us. Have you got a pencil and paper that you can write that down? It's worth memorizing. The taking up of the cross is the continual daily practice of small duties which are distasteful to us. The taking up of the cross is the continual daily practice of small duties which are distasteful to us. What better sphere in which we labor could there possibly be than that of motherhood? Yes, we've often talked about submission and obedience of wives to their husbands. On another level, the woman is undisputably a queen. She reigns. She has a special role, spiritual, intellectual, biological, and economically. She is just as necessary to man as he is to her. As I've often tried to point out, we are meant not to be competitive, but complementary, each fulfilling the responsibilities of his place in life. The husband has a job to do which is not optional. He is the head, as Christ is head of the church. That is an assigned office. And the wife represents the church, and so she is in submission to her husband as the church is in submission to Christ. We are partners, fellow workers, cooperators in shaping the destiny of our children. But we ruin everything if we try to make them equal and give the same position or role or work or expectations. Who was the woman who most perfectly and completely fulfilled the vocation of woman? She was the Virgin Mary, mother of the Son of God. Mary was fit to be a mother because she was fit to be a bride. And when God sent his angel to announce to Mary that she was to become the mother of his Son, her response was, "Be it unto me according to thy word." or in modern English, let it happen, as you say. She identified her will with God's, and that is the condition of all Christian action in the world. We must identify ourselves with the will of God. We pray, sometimes glibly, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And we get so surprised when God starts doing it, especially when he starts doing it in us or to us. Mary's cooperation was the condition of the coming of Christ the Savior into the world. Eve, the mother of the race, had brought evil through her self-will, her pride, setting up her own will against the will of God. Mary reversed that first sin. She was willing to be the handmaiden, willing to be the mother. She didn't know at the time when she said, Be it unto me according to thy word. How could she have known what suffering this was going to involve? And no mother knows ahead of time what suffering is going to be involved. But every mother who's older and can look back on the lives of her children knows that many a sword has pierced her soul, as it did Mary's. Now, there's a kind of an evolution in married life. We marry because we're in love. We marry because we love somebody. But then, you know, the day comes when we have to remember to love that person because we married him. We also hope to build something much greater than ourselves. The sum of husband and wife is greater than the sum of the two individuals. It's a home, a family, something far greater than this particular man marrying this particular woman because he happens to have fallen in love with her in a particular way. The man has to be the husband and the breadwinner and the father. The woman was created to be the wife, the mother, and the housewife. Our culture has infected our minds with negative thoughts about a word like housewife, this horrible expression, barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. Well, be very grateful if you have a kitchen. Be extremely grateful if you're pregnant. And what's wrong with being barefoot? If you live in Florida or someplace where it's warm all the time, you wouldn't want to go barefoot in Massachusetts. But this is God's order for us, isn't it? If he has given us a husband and gives us children, then we have our work cut out for us. The glory of a mother is that she is given a share as a minister of God in making these new immortal beings, these little children, into the image of Christ, to helping them to grow into that likeness and to lead them back safely to him. How I thank God for the parents who led us safely to Christ, and sang with us before we went to bed at night, Jesus, tender shepherd, hear me. Bless thy little lamb tonight. Through the darkness be thou near me. Keep me safe till morning light. All this day thy hand hath led me, and I thank thee for thy care. Thou hast warmed me, clothed me, fed me. Listen to my evening prayer. Let my sins be all forgiven. Bless the friends I love so well. Take us all at last to heaven. Happy there with thee to dwell. This task is not only God's will, but it is also the perfect fulfillment of a mother's love. Do you resent your destiny as a distraction of your love? You can't pay as much attention to your husband anymore as you do to your children, because you spend more time with them. Our purpose in these programs is to help you to think of your vocation of womanhood in the world. But here, you have the essential condition of all work and of every vocation in the world. You can't work for God in the world, as I said yesterday, unless you love the world. But you can't love the world truly unless you have learnt, or at least are learning day by day, to love God above all things. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, which does not mean that you must seek only your own sanctification and forsake your responsibilities to the world. It doesn't mean that you have to reduce your love of beautiful things to a thin, colorless, what somebody has called a simulacrum of detached benevolence, as the words are nowadays understood. The fact is that the more you love God, the more you will love the world, because the more you will share in His love of the world. The more you can kill in yourself the false love, which values things only for what you can get out of them, the more you will see them and love them as they really are. The more you rid yourself of possessiveness. That's a cautionary word, isn't it? Possessiveness of our children, pride, the feeling that we have to control their lives. And the more we free ourselves of the slavery that ties us down to our possessions. Are you a collector? Are you a pack rat? And the haunting dread of losing them, the greater your love will grow, both in breadth and in intensity, until, in the end, it embraces, like the love of God, the whole of a sin-laden and suffering world. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all the rest will be added unto you.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.